We're doing a sermon, God With Us, sermon series, a teaching series, God With Us. And I want to invite you this morning to John chapter 1, which is where we were last with the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. John chapter 1. We were talking about this idea in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. We hear in the early in this chapter, we see a genealogy about who Jesus is, and then an interesting reference back to the book of Isaiah, in which Matthew, the author of the book, says that we're going to have this child, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And so if you remember in Hebrew, Emmanu means with us, and El is the short. It means God. It's short for, El is short for Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for God. So what we have here is Emmanu El, God with us, a with us kind of God. And so last week we talked about what that looks like. John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, the author, has a different purpose in mind, unlike Matthew, who's trying to develop that God is man, and his genealogy as it relates to Mary. In the book of John, John being evangelistic in his goal, John immediately jumps into the heart of the matter and immediately jumps into what is important, and that is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And this is extremely important. Who is Jesus? We read and we remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we immediately are challenged with, it should remind you of another very familiar passage, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so this is similar to that passage. It's a reflection, it's a mirror of that passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on. We're just going to read to verse 5. He was in the beginning with God, in case you didn't hear it the first time. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Through him. Not by him, because again, that would imply that he took pre-existing stuff and then shaped it and made things. No. God, through him, God made everything. God created in the person of Jesus. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so last week we talked about foundationally this idea that Jesus is God, that Jesus is God. In fact, not just God. Jesus is the one tremendous way that Isaiah, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, the prophets of old would often refer to God in order to paint a big picture of God. They would refer to God in this term, Creator. This all the time in the prophets. Creator, indeed. Creator of the heavens and the earth. You know what I'm saying? This is all over the Old Testament prophets. And we see that reflected here in John. Who is God? He is creator of everything. Hey, listen, you can't get bigger than creator. Okay? Because the universe is vast and comprehensive. We can't even understand. Our finite minds cannot comprehend the vastness of the creative order that God has made, our minds cannot comprehend how vast creation is. And yet, God created. How big can God possibly be? To be a God who, with a out of speaking it, everything came into order, everything came into being. God is creator. And so what we see here in verse 14, you don't have to turn there. And the Word, this is God, became flesh. God, listen, here it is, God with us. The creator of the universe, the God that created everything, came to earth. This creator that underlies everything. We said last week that the basis of the universe, what underlies the universe, the foundational piece of the whole of the creative order, the thing that's foundational to everything, is a person. Jesus. That underlies everything. That is, you know, they are spending billions of dollars with tests in, I think it's in Europe. Where is the Higginbotham? Where is that? Yeah, parts of Europe. So it's a collider, and they're trying to take atoms and cause them to collide to one another. And they've got this big complex trying to simulate the beginning of everything, to come to some foundational understanding of what are some causalities for what we see and understand. And they're spending billions of dollars, scientists, trying to figure this out. We already figured it out. God's already told us. What underlies everything is a person. Jesus. That's foundational. The whole universe is a person, the person of Jesus. And if we're going to come to terms with Christianity, we have to come to terms with the claims of Christianity. This is the beginning. This is foundational to the claims of Christianity, that God became man. That's foundational to Christianity. We said this last week. Again, this is long review. This is foundational Christianity in this sense, that every other religion, prophet, yes, every other religion, but not God become flesh. Not that. This is foundational Christianity. People doubt. Oh, I don't trust. I could get along with Jesus, okay, but I just don't believe in the miracles and all that stuff. But I believe Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. I believe all that. Plenty of religions treat Jesus that way. So hold on. If you do that, you've taken everything out of Christianity. That's important. You've messed up Christianity at the front door. The foundation of Christianity is that God became flesh. God with us. And today, I want to build on this, to hone in on the word with. With implies a relationship, a desire to be around, right? To be around. You can always tell, and I can tell this in my own life as I was thinking about this, when Kelly and I are fighting, and not just Kelly and I. When you are arguing with your spouse, you're very upset, and you're like, you guys like to be with one another. Generally speaking, we say, I'm gonna walk away. I'm gonna go to the other room. And we're gonna. I don't really want to be with you right now. How many have ever had that experience with your spouse? Don't lie. You don't have to raise your hand. There's something about this word "with" that's really important. And I love it. I love it when I think about it, because it gets me excited. That God wants to be with me and you. Is that exciting? That this creator God that would presumably has created the whole universe, that this God would want to have a relationship and be with you and me. This is foundational. to Christianity. God, that's foundational. God became man. That God wants to be with us. That God wants to be with us is foundational to Christianity. It's foundational to Christmas. It's foundational to what we believe as Christians. It's foundational to how we view the Godhead, that God wants to be. It's not just that it's God, but it's that God wants to be with us. There are plenty of religions that believe in God. There aren't plenty of religions that say that God wants to have relationship with us. I think Christianity is entirely unique in this regard. God wants to be with us. Oh, where's my Bible? Here it is. In the book of Matthew, when Matthew picks up Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it's interesting that God has not been heard from in 400 years. The prophets in Zechariah, Malachi, spoke 400 years previous to this. But for 400 years, it was very clear that God was not speaking through prophets. And the children of Israel were reeling to hear from God, to hear God's voice again, even if but through a prophet, that a prophet would speak into this. Where is God? Has God left us? We haven't heard from God in 400 years. And typically, if you remember in the Old Testament, prophets were how people would hear from God. And so there were always prophets. There were always prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. All prophets, Old Testament prophets. And they're always talking about God. And you'd remember, they would always say things like, "Thus saith the Lord." Remember that? Oh, they're always saying that. "Thus saith the Lord," and the children of Israel would perk up. God's saying something. This is important. God is saying something. And all of a sudden, you have 400 years of, the theologians call this the 400 years of silence. 400 years of silence. God's not speaking. Where is God? Where is God? God's not moving in the children of Israel. And I just find this incredible, this God with us. That all of a sudden, in 400 years of... God is no longer content to just speak through a prophet. God doesn't say, "Oh, I'll bring another prophet." I mean, he does. He brings John the Baptist. He brings John the Baptist to come and to prepare the way of the Lord. But he's just... he's there just to announce the Messiah's coming. The Messiah's coming. And God is no longer content to just be second-hand heard from a prophet. Indeed, God breaks the silence of 400 years by coming to earth, taking on the form of man, and speaking directly. Here it is. We have it. We have God in the flesh. God's word in the book of John chapter 1, where we just were. John chapter 1, verse 18 says something interesting. He says, the author, John, says, "No one has seen God at any time." No one's ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. Even the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God would show up as a cloud, as fire. God would just show up as a storm. God would show up. Does that make sense? God just veiled himself. Moses went up, and he couldn't even take God's glory. Right? He had to turn. If you remember this, Moses wanted to see God, and Moses has to turn because he can't look at God. So, if God's going to show up, you better turn around because this is going to be big time. He couldn't even look upon God. No one has seen God at any time. John 1, verse 18. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has shown him, explained him. Do you know what Jesus did? Jesus is the personification of God. Do you want to understand who God is? Get to know Jesus, because Jesus explains who God is. Because he is God in a way that we can understand it. Jesus is God. Jesus explains God. And so here, 400 years of silence, you want to hear from God. Oh, I'll do you one better. I'll just show up. I'll show up in a person. I'll show up in flesh. I'll show up as a baby. I'll grow up and live among them. And I will die on the cross for them. Do you know why? God wants to have relationship with us. With us. I want to invite you to where we're going to spend just a few minutes, and we're going to be done. The book of Genesis. Let's start at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. You are familiar with this story, if nothing else, but because of your Sunday school class when you were a child. Genesis, that's the first one. Genesis chapter 3. If you remember the story, this is the part where, importantly, where Adam and Eve, the fall of man, Adam and Eve sin. This is the fruit story, verse 1 there. And the wife, very, very foolishly, goes away from her husband and gets tempted by the serpent. And you know the story. She partakes of the fruit. How many are not familiar with this story? Not. Okay, everybody got it. All right. And so she takes the fruit. Everybody knows the story. The woman saw the tree and she was good. Okay. And God's word says in verse 7 that their eyes are open. They know now the difference between sin and the way God wants them to live. They're aware of sin. And verse 8 says something interesting. I want to explain, if I can, the reason why it is that God came to earth to be known. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This is right after they have sinned. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said to him, important question, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? I want to think through this, and I want to jump a little bit into this passage. It's interesting to me that it appears that God, in this initial time, God created, he creates Adam, and we don't know how much time there was from the time that God created Adam and Eve to this moment. God's word doesn't say. It does indicate, though, something interesting, that Adam and Eve were accustomed to God walking in the garden with them. They weren't startled at all with the idea that God was calling on them and that God was in the garden. It seems to me that part of the creative order, part of what happened here is that God created Adam and Eve, and he did it because he wanted relationship with Adam and Eve. Can you follow that? So much so intimate relationship, so much so that it seems like, the Bible seems to indicate that what God would do is on occasion come down to the garden and talk with Adam and Eve. That this would be the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve would have relationship with God in a way that we don't understand, a face-to-face relationship with God. And they weren't. Didn't find that odd at all. It was just the way it was. I think that's important to understand, because what happened is what stopped the relationship? What stopped that from continuing? What was it that caused Adam and Eve to no longer have relationship with God? The one that was intended, a relationship in which God is very I shouldn't say casual, but very intimate with Adam and Eve. What changed? Something changed when the moment that Adam and Eve sinned against God. And all of a sudden, that sin, that rebelling against God, because God clearly said, don't eat of this tree. Don't eat. That rebellion to eat against God messed up everything. It messed up everything. Indeed, if you study this, I think it's extremely interesting. If you study what sin ultimately causes division between, basically what sin does and what this initial sin did is cause division between man and God. A tremendous thing happened the second that Adam and Eve sinned. All of a sudden, and we've learned this in the past, there's a problem now. Now they have sin, and God can't have a relationship with sin, because God is love, God is light. In Him there is no darkness. All of a sudden, we got a big problem. Adam sinned, but God is at His essence holy, and so there's a division caused, and not only a division caused with God, but there was a dislocation. Sin dislocated Adam from his wife. All of a sudden, now they got problems. Sin caused a dislocation between Adam and Eve and their kids. Sin caused a dislocation, a division, a barrier, a problem between Adam and the thing that he was called to do in the garden. All of a sudden, that has to go. Sin caused a dislocation between the way God wanted things and the way they were now. All of a sudden now, women have to bear children. And while it used to be, in God's perfect world, only joy, now it's joy and pain. Sin messed up everything. Every relationship that you can have because of sin now isn't perfect. Every relation, every reality that you have in your world is messed up because of sin. This cold weather, I'm afraid, is a result of sin. I hate it. It's cold. It's ugly. I mean, it's pretty when it snows, but it hardly snows here. Not anything significant. Not where you can have fun with it. Well, I don't want to wait. I'm happy for... you realize everything is messed up because of sin, to include, most importantly, the relationship Adam had with his Creator. And the next thousands of years would be God trying to come to terms with relationship that can no longer be face to face. And so all kinds of myriads of things happened. For example, God decided to go to Abraham and tell Abraham, I want you to be the father of a people that can be my people. Why? Because God wants relationship. And so what's he do? He calls Abraham to become a father. He says, I'm going to bless your people, the people that, all the people that you have, I'm going to bless them. Your people are going to be blessed on this planet. And so God bless the people. Why? Because God wants relationship with people. God goes a step further and says, we have a relationship, so I want you to know my special name. So then he calls on Moses, and Moses, remember, burning bush. Remember that? All of a sudden, Moses walking down, and he comes upon a bush that's burning, and there God tells Moses about his special name and says, this is the name that you need to worship, Yahweh. This is it, my special name. Why? Because in order to have a relationship with people, we need to know who we are. God then wants to be close to people, so God shows up on occasion. God shows up, pillar of fire, remember that? Pillar of fire, look, that's the presence of God. God is leading us. Or cloud during the day, pillar of fire by night. Why? Because God wanted to be close. God wants relationship with us. God did something interesting. God knew that there would have to be sacrifice made in order for the sin problem that Adam and Eve, thank you, Adam and Eve, for their problem to not be as bad our problem, God creates a sacrificial system. So he creates a temple. But before he does that, he creates a tabernacle. And the tabernacle is known as a place of, listen to this, interesting. Meeting, a place of meeting. Do you know why? Because God wants relationship with us. The place of meeting. Then God creates the temple. So okay, now you guys, let's make this even bigger. Let's have relationship. Let's have relationship so that everybody knows where I am. This is going to be permanent. Let's build in Jerusalem. Let's build, by the way, city of David, right? Let's build a temple. God wants to build a temple. So they build a temple, remember? They build a temple. Do you know why? So that the presence of God could be there. Do you know why? Because God wants relationship. And then this. You could go, if you were a priest, into the one special place where God could be found. The inner sanctum, the holy of holies, this one place, but only the priest and only the high priest could go there. Only the high priest could go there, and the high priest would go there. But if that high priest had any sin in his life whatsoever, because God is holy, that high priest, if he entered into this holy place, into the holy of holies, if that happened, and he had sin in his life, you know what happened? He's dead. And they would have to put bells around the priest so that if they yelled in there, the priest could jiggle a little bit so that the other priest would know that he was alive. And then they had rope attached to him so that if God happened to kill this man because he wasn't righteous, you know, they'd pull him out because they can't go in. In all this, God wants relationship. That's the key. God wants relationship, but as you just heard in the temple illustrates, sin is a problem. Sin, the division, even then, in the temple scenario, you could not go in. John, if you would have lived back then, John, you couldn't have gone in. Well, because you could never have been a high priest because you're bald. And the Bible said that that bald people could not be high priests. I don't know why. Take that up with the Lord. I have no idea. That's just one of those things. But also you would have to be a specific person, John, in a certain line. And then if you had the privilege of going in this one place, that would be kind of scary. You know, I really don't, to be honest, and I don't know how you feel about it, but if we lived 3,000 years ago in the time, 2,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, in the time in which the temple system were established, you probably would not want to have relationship with God under those terms. Does that make sense? Under the terms in which you could have a relationship with God and talk to God in an intimate way, but if there's anything wrong with you, you're dead. Okay, nobody really wants relationship with God like that. And then, but God wants relationship. There's a problem. Sin's a problem. God wants a relationship, and he's made ways for that to be, but always at a distance. Relationship with God always at a distance because sin has corrupted it. So always relationship with God. God yearns for a relationship with you. But 2,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, that relationship must needs have been distant. And then Jesus came. And then Jesus came. And then a seismic shift happened in which God came, God with us. A seismic shift now happened in which God is no longer distant, at a distance for a select few, under very strict circumstances. God is no, relationship with God is no longer separate. Relationship with God now is fundamentally changed. Relationship with God is changed now in the person of Jesus. Now all of a sudden, Jesus, it's not that we go to Jesus to the temple. Now God has come to us. Now God has come to us and made himself accessible to us. He became flesh. He became flesh. He came to be with us. Total ground, a game changer. You understand? This is a game changer. What God did, what we celebrate at Christmas, the fact that Jesus came to be born on earth for us, that's a game changer. Now all of a sudden, God is saying, I don't want distant relationship anymore. That's no longer the way it's going to be. Now we can have relationship with God because God came to us. He became flesh. God wants real relationship that doesn't have, you don't have to be perfect to have relationship with God. You have to have Jesus' righteousness, yes, but you don't have to be perfect. You just come to Jesus because he's come to us. God changed everything when he came to earth 2,000 years ago. He changed everything. Now relationship with God. Listen, this is so important for you to understand what Christmas means. Relationship with God can be, and it's God's desire for it to be, intimate. Not like Adam before the fall. Certainly God's not going to come down to your garden anytime soon and walk with you. If that happens, there's a problem. There is a problem. If you see God walking around in your backyard, I promise you, that's not good. You ate too much pizza the night before. There is a tremendous problem. Not that kind of relationship. A relationship in which God resides in me. God lives in me. God speaks to me in the person of his Spirit. Not like Adam. Absolutely not like Adam, but every bit is real. Every bit as vibrant, every bit as interesting and life-giving as that. And it strikes me when we're talking about Christmas time, we're thinking about Christmas, it strikes me how people get so excited about Christmas. And I'm excited, I get excited about Christmas. I love Christmas. Everybody gets so excited. I'm talking about the world now. I'm talking about the world, people that don't know Jesus. And they get excited about Christmas. Man, we love Christmas. Best time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And yet I'm not sure exactly what they're so excited about if they don't understand this. I know why I'm excited, but I don't know what they're excited about. I'm excited because it means that I can have relationship with the God of the universe that's intimate, real, life-giving. I'm excited. That's what it means. That's what it means. That Jesus became flesh. That Jesus is with us. That God came to earth to be with us. That's exciting. That is something to get excited about. What they're excited about, believe me, I have no idea. There are a lot of people that are excited about Christmas for a lot of wrong reasons. I contend to you that our job this time of year is what we've been saying for the last month and a half, is for you to tell those people what it is to truly be excited about Christmas and why they can be excited that God came down to earth to have relationship with them and how they can have relationship with the God of the universe. And because when they get that and say, man, I get it. So God came down to be with us, to have a relationship with me. That's something to be excited about. That's something to be excited about. Santa Claus, good as that is, I like Santa. You know, I like old Saint Nick, no problem. But listen, that's all ornament. That's not the tree. The thing is Jesus. The thing is Jesus. And so what we're talking about today, God last week, right? God, creator of the universe, absolutely. This is important. With us, relationship with us, wants to be with us. That's good news. That's good news. That's something that I can get excited about. There's a reason why Christmas is so exciting for Christians. God with us. God wants to be with us. And if you want to make that personal, I think we could do that now. God wants to be and have a relationship with me. what God? The big creator God, the one that we talked about last week, the one huge God, the creator of everything, the God that made everything, wants to have a relationship with little old me. God is good. God is good. This week, to challenge you to talk to people about why Christmas is truly exciting. And it has nothing to do with Santa Claus. It has nothing to do with the trees and the gifts. It has to do with the gift. It has to do with the gift. I want to be a church that... So you want to give somebody a real Christmas gift? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. You want to give somebody a Christmas gift? Give them the gospel. Tell them that Jesus died for them, loves them, came to earth to die on the cross for them so that they can have life forever, vibrant life in Jesus, relationship with God. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than relationship with God. Nothing comes close to that. Tell people.